Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, it's so good to be with you on this Sunday, which is part of a very significant weekend in our nation here in Great Britain. A really special moment happened yesterday at that coronation service for King Charles. In the midst of everything that happened yesterday, all the pageantry, all the formalities, all the different expressions of celebration, there was a very special moment that happened when the Archbishop anointed King Charles with oil. It's a really special moment because it's a symbolic and indicative of God's blessing upon our King. And you'll notice also that it was a hidden moment. You weren't able to watch it on screen because it was a sacred and intimate moment. And that oil that was placed upon his hands, his head and his chest, that oil came from Jerusalem. A few months ago, preparations were put in place to get oil and mix it with other ingredients and prepare it, and it was blessed and made sacred in the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem by the various different bishops there. And it was transported all the way to London, and then the Archbishop of Canterbury, he placed the anointing oil on King Charles. But that oil began on the Mount of Olives. The olives were grown there on the Mount of Olives, and they were taken and crushed to produce the oil that was used for the anointing. The reason I want to talk about that today is because there's something in the process of oil being produced that we can learn spiritual principles. You see, olives are crushed to be able to produce the oil. They're not only crushed just once, they're crushed three times to be able to produce the olive that can be used for cooking or anointing or other sort of purposes. Today, and as we continue our series called Crushing It, I want to begin by asking you this question of what do you do when you feel like life is crushing you? I can think about moments in my journey that I can sense and remember that I felt overwhelmed. I felt that circumstances out with my control, but also my inward life as well, has felt like I'm being crushed, that pressure has been applied on me. You maybe relate to times when you feel stressed about something, something you are worried or anxious about, something that you just cannot see a way out, and it's almost like life is crushing you, and there's always that temptation to resign and to give up. But Jesus shows us how we can learn from his example of how in those moments of crushing, we can move past that into all that God has for us. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 is just some of the final hours before Jesus is arrested. He's gathered his closest friends here on earth, those that he spent the most time with over these past 3 years. And he retreats to pray to his Father and to bare his soul and to be honest with how he felt in that moment, but goes on this struggle and just knowing what was ahead, knowing what these next few hours and couple of days would entail for him. And he ends up at this place where he is overwhelmed. Let's pick up the story from verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him. And he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He said to them, "Sit here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." During this time, this snapshot that we see of one of the many events that's happened on this week, we see that Jesus prays not just once, but three times. Three times he goes by himself to pray to his Father. He goes from his soul being overwhelmed to his spirit yielded once again to his Father's will. He is now ready for what is to come. See, we are celebrating the King this weekend. In our nation, in the Commonwealth, we're celebrating King Charles, but believer, friend, we belong to another kingdom. And our King is Christ, the Anointed One. He's always true to his divine nature and to his role as our Savior, but yet he was always faithful in his humanity as well, just as we are. See, Jesus reveals to his closest friends here the inward struggle that he is dealing with, that he is facing. He didn't share this moment with everyone. This wasn't like the Sermon on the Mount where a large crowd gathered. This isn't like one of the miracles where nobody could get into the house because there were so many people there listening to him teach. No, this was a moment for the three closest to him to be near so that they could see what was going on. It was a hidden moment. It was a sacred moment. It was a powerful moment. And Jesus actually said to them to sit here and watch. Keep watch. I'm sure they were probably making sure he was protected, that there was no people coming in to interrupt him. But I bet they had one eye on him as well. One sleepy eye. Just watching. Well, why is he by himself? Why can't we go and follow? What's going on here? And maybe they just didn't fully understand what was going on in this moment. But Jesus shows to them and reveals to them that inward struggle that he had. Even that he would say, "My soul, my emotions, my feelings are at a point where I feel I'm at the point of death." This we see Jesus going through one of these crushing moments. And it's interesting that he prays three times, because an olive, when it is crushed three times. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the place for olive crushing. Jesus is in Gethsemane Jesus is praying to the Father. He is revealing that inward struggle because he knew what was coming. He knew about the arrest. He knew the betrayal was coming. He knew the scourging was coming. He knew the cross was coming. He knew the separation from the Father was coming. He knew what was coming up into that point where he would say, "It is finished." His soul is overwhelmed in this moment. And he turns to his Father in prayer. This, I guess, is one of those few moments where we really see Jesus, the fullness of his humanity, how similar he was to us. When he was tempted in the wilderness by the enemy, and now here in this moment, in this hour, what's about to happen, we can see that he had the same struggles that you and I have. And Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be accused of something that you've never done. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like. And maybe you find yourself now or have been in a point where you felt overwhelmed, that your soul has been overwhelmed. And Jesus shows us here and teaches us a really important lesson here. He shows us, firstly, that he understands us. He knows what we're going through, but that we can be honest as well with our Father in heaven. That we can be truthful and honest about how we feel to him, and that we can share our emotions. I wonder for you today, right at the very beginning of this message, I just want to encourage you to the first response is to pray to your Father, but to have people trust in your life that you can share your emotions with. That's really important. See, he is overwhelmed in his soul. But the Bible then says that after he goes to pray the second time, it says this, that he went a little farther. A little farther. Just a little bit farther. It's interesting because the first time you crush an olive, it turns into a pulp. And that pulp tastes quite bitter. It's not a good taste. It doesn't taste good. It's not smooth. It's quite bitter. And it's so important that we don't give up too soon. You see, at that point of being honest before God, if we stop there, then if we're not careful, we leave ourselves open to coming to the conclusion that, well, God didn't answer my prayer. I tried that once. He obviously didn't listen, so he's not interested in me. That didn't work. And then you end up coming to the wrong conclusion. And if you're not careful, your spirit can become quite bitter. But Jesus, he went a little further. See, that's what it takes. If you feel overwhelmed by life, to be able to overcome in these moments, you've got to be willing to go a little bit further. You've got to be willing to go again. You've got to be willing to keep on pushing through in these moments where you feel like life is crushing you. You've got to be willing to keep on pushing in to the one who crushed all things. You see, we see that Jesus, the Bible tells us, when he goes to pray a little further this time, he falls to the ground. So his soul is anguished, his body is weary, he is face down in anguish, knowing everything that is about to happen. It's almost like the pressure is being turned up. It's like a diver that is in one of those diving suits and he's sinking further and further to the bottom of the ocean. And the deeper he gets, the more intense the pressure gets. But if that diver just keeps on going, and maybe when he realizes things are getting a bit tight here, if he just stays there and he stops, then he will eventually be crushed. But if he begins to maybe go a little further, a little bit higher, the pressure begins to be released, and he can continue on his journey. See, we've got to make sure that we don't stop too soon. Jesus went back to pray. And already in this moment, the second prayer, we see that there is a shift happening in Jesus. Although even he's feeling the crushing of this moment, he actually shifts his prayer. He says this, that everything is possible. He knew that everything is possible. God is able to do everything. But here we have one of these incredible divine paradoxes. Because yes, God can do everything. But the reality is, and the truth is, that in this moment, Jesus had to suffer. He had to die. To be the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the perfect sacrifice, it meant that Jesus had to die. Yes, God can do everything, but this had to happen. And Jesus knew this. And he begins in this prayer by recognizing that everything is possible. But as he develops this prayer, we see that realization once again, this had to happen. Christ had to suffer. And this suffering is not just some nice painting on a wall or make-believe. No, this was real and costly. Isaiah says and prophesies hundreds of years before the crucifixion, saying about the suffering servant, the suffering Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One. It said that he was crushed for our iniquities. He was crushed for our sin. He was crushed for your sin. See, when Jesus dies upon the cross, he was crushed for us. He took the punishment for our sin. And because he was crushed, we see that afterwards, when he rises from the dead, something new comes to you. Something new, a new life, a new experience, forgiveness, redemption, reconciliation, eternal life, all comes because Jesus was crushed and something new came from it. It had to happen. For Jesus to be the anointed one, he had to suffer. And he did it for you. That's the incredible thing here about Jesus. He says this, that if it's possible, take this cup from me. What does he mean here by cups? He's talking about the cup of judgment for sin. But Jesus didn't pass that cup away. He took the cup. He drank from that cup so that you could drink from a different cup, the cup of salvation. So Jesus did all this for you and me. He was, what kind of king is this? What kind of king is this that is crushed, gives up everything so that you can be forgiven of everything you've done that offended God and you can live in the fullness that he came to bring to you? Jesus did it for you. He did it for you. And he prays this prayer. And this is the evidence that he'd gone a little bit further. Yet not my will, but your will. See, that's when you know the bitterness is gone. When you can pray to your Father in heaven, and there's no sense of self and selfishness, but there's just that willingness to obey God's perfect will. See, Jesus says to Peter the next time that he comes back to pray, he says, Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Peter at this point couldn't stay awake, let alone stand up for Jesus. And in a few hours, he would even deny knowing Jesus. And Jesus is teaching us here that our natural ability is not enough to be able to overcome when we feel overwhelmed. It's not enough when we feel that sense of crushing to just try harder, do better, fix it ourselves. No, he teaches us here that our spirit is willing, that your spirit needs the support and the help to be able to overcome when you feel overwhelmed. It's so important that you build up your spirit so when these moments come of crushing, you are resilient. You are not overcome. How do we do this? How do we grow in our spiritual resilience? Well, the crushing actually helps us because it pushes us to depend not on ourselves, but on the only one who is dependable, Jesus. Just as Jesus turns to the Father, we can turn to Jesus, the one who gave his life for us and now is interceding for us, the one who ascended to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come and live among us to enable us and equip us to live life here on earth. You need to make sure that you're not relying on your flesh, which will fail you, on your natural ability, on your emotions, on your talents. We've got to be relying on the Spirit of God within us, which is willing. See, also we read here just at the end that the disciples, when Jesus returns that third time, they are lost for words now. They don't actually understand what's going on. These are one of those moments where they've probably got one eye on Jesus seeing what's going on there. They don't understand it. They're tired. They fall asleep. Jesus is back again, and they are dumbfounded. They don't get what's just happened there. They're lost for words. This is a moment, a defining moment for the whole of history, where God's plan of salvation that has been building up to this point is about to be actioned. And they don't get it. I think we can be compassionate to them, and it was probably, they weren't thinking along that lines. But even so, Jesus was modeling and showing them, when you feel overwhelmed, you can overcome. When you push in prayer, when you don't give up, and you're willing to get in a place where you submit to my Father's will, and you're willing to obey. See, that's the moment here. See, the hour has come, he says. The matter is settled. What Jesus just prayed about is settled. He knew this is the moment. So he's went from being overwhelmed and at the point of death in his soul, but now he's like, the hour has come. Let's go. This is happening. Let's make it go. Let's make it happen. And that he knew that in the next few moments, Judas, his betrayer, and the soldiers were coming. So Jesus had settled the matter in himself, and he was aware that what I have just been through, this experience of crushing, is actually been preparing me for what is about to happen, because the hour has come. Friend, you can't give up too soon, because there is something about to happen, and God is preparing you in these moments for what is about to happen. The crushing is actually happening to produce something in you that is new. Just as Jesus is crushed like that olive and the oil would flow from the olive, Jesus has been crushed and ready to go into that next moment in God's plan for salvation. Recently, you may be aware that Dr. Charles Stanley, the great preacher from the United States, passed away recently. And he was asked before he died if you could summarize his whole ministry. What would he say? And he would say very simply, obey God and leave all the circumstances to him. And he went on to explain how his grandfather, who was a preacher as well, he was talking to him one day on the porch and just trying to find out things about his grandfather and learn from his spiritual journey. And his grandfather said to him, you know, Charles, if God tells you to put your head through a brick wall, you put your head through a brick wall and trust God to make a hole in it before you get there. And he thought, that's quite an interesting analogy. But what he took from that was, I just got to obey God and trust him with the outcome, to leave him with the consequences. And Jesus get to this point, he knew what was coming, and he got to this point in himself where he just obeyed his Father's will. Friend, if you feel like you are going through a time of crushing, can I encourage you even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, obey God and leave the consequences to him. Now we see Jesus as he shares these final words here in Gethsemane, how the accuser, the betrayer is about to come. Jesus is not bitter in this moment. No, he is focused. There's no bitterness. Yes, it's sad what he's saying, but there's no bitterness. He was so sure of God's will and his Father's will and his plan and destiny. See, I think I'm speaking to someone today and you feel like you're going through that crushing experience. You're feeling overwhelmed, but you can overcome when you're willing to be honest and to go a little bit further, to keep pushing in and get to that point where you submit to his will, not your will, not God, you do things how I think they should be done. No, being willing to obey and leave the consequences to God. When you get to that point, that's when you begin to step in to the next part of God's plan and destiny for you. So if you are feeling like you're going through a time of crushing, can I encourage you that although it may not seem like it and feel like it right now, just go a little bit further. Keep pushing. Keep praying. Keep being honest with God. Help him to lead your prayers and to lead you and to help you get some wisdom in this moment, because there is more. This is not the end. You can trust God. If you're being tested right now, it's because God wants to trust you with more. If God has started something in your life, he will bring it to pass. You can depend on him. So I want to remind you about the olive that is crushed 3 times to produce the oil. Not the bitter oil, but the good stuff. And just as Jesus in Gethsemane prayed 3 times, as he went through that crushing experience, he was ready for that moment that changed all of eternity and could change your life. You see, as I've explained already today, Jesus, in the next few hours, he is arrested, tried, and is sentenced to be crucified. He hangs upon the cross, and he dies in your place because he loves you, because he wants to have a real relationship with you in this life, to forgive you of all your sin and to make you a new person, but also to give you the gift of eternal life, that you will be in his presence forever. As I'm talking to you right now, if you would say, I don't have that sort of relationship. Well, see, that's why Jesus went through all this. He was crushed for our iniquities, for our sins, for all wrongdoing. He did it for you. And if you in this moment said, Daniel, I want to start a relationship with Jesus, I want to receive his forgiveness, then I want to invite you to come right now to the cross and just pray this simple prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into this world. And I come to your cross and I see how you died in my place for my forgiveness. I recognize your blood was shed so that I could be forgiven. Oh, forgive me of my sin. I turn away from my old life. I ask you to help me by your Spirit to follow you. I believe you are risen from the dead, and I choose to follow you all the days of my life. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that right now, well, please tell someone, please tell us, connect with us, send us a message so that we can help you on your journey. Well, I pray that you continue to enjoy this weekend of celebrating the King's coronation. But I wanted to remind you today about our King Jesus, Christ the Anointed One, the Savior of the world.